Good evening, everyone. This feels pretty good up here. All right, the title of my message today is, or tonight, is God Has a Plan. God has a plan for the world. He has a plan for his children. He has a plan for you and I. We just need to be willing to participate in that plan and see it work. We need to have faith that he can do the things that he says he's going to do. So tonight, the text we're going to be studying is Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 20. So if you want to open your Bibles to that and follow along as I read. So Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen.'" Verse 18, "Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm just humbled here tonight, Lord, and I pray that you will give me clarity of voice, Lord, and boldness to speak forth your word, Lord, to speak what you want me to speak. And I just pray that that there will be understanding, Lord. I just am humbled by the opportunity that you would use me, Lord, for this purpose. So I'm just thankful, and I pray for your mercy and your goodness, Lord, and pray that your will be done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the first verse tonight, Moses tells the people not to be afraid, to stand still, and to see the salvation of the Lord. So let's back up a little bit and see what they have to fear. The situation they find themselves in there, if you're reading with us through the Bible in 3 years, then you've read this week, starting in chapter 9 of Exodus, working your way through chapter 16. And in chapter 9, it was the fifth plague. I think it was the plague of the disease of the livestock. And went through the rest of the plagues, finishing off with the death of the firstborn and establishing the Passover. Well, Pharaoh has reluctantly released the children of Israel, and they've left with all their belongings and much of the Egyptians' belongings as well. But they're being pursued by Pharaoh and his army. God has directed them to take an unlikely path that is designed to draw the Egyptians into a trap that he is setting for them, as well as keeping the children of Israel from losing heart and turning back. God had said in chapter 13, verse 17, that he chose this way for one reason, lest perhaps the people change their minds and they lose heart when they see war. Because the other way, the short way, was through the area of the Philistines. Well, God lays out his whole plan to Moses in chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. He says, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. He says, you shall camp before it by the sea. And verse 3 says, for Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. And then God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So the Egyptians, their army is bearing down on the children of Israel, and they're camped at this Pi Hahiroth, which means the mouth of water. And they're between Migdol, which means a watchtower. It's a stretch of mountains that are real high, and the sea. So they're effectively boxed in on all sides. They have the mountains on one side. They have the Red Sea to their backs, and the Egyptian army is closing in on their front. So they have every right to be afraid, because they really don't have a clear knowledge of what God's plan is. They know that he's promised to deliver them, but they don't know how it's going to happen. So they're afraid. In verse 8, the children of Israel had gone out with boldness. They had, you know, left very bold, taking, you know, the Egyptians' gold and silver. But by verse 10, they see when Pharaoh is drawing near, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and so they were very afraid. They had lost all their confidence by this time. They had lost their swagger. They were ready to give up. They were ready to return to slavery. They were blaming Moses for their predicament. In verse 11, it says, why have you, referring to Moses, dealt with us in this way? Meaning that in their eyes, they had felt that he was the reason that they were in this bad situation. And that although they had their hopes of freedom, all of a sudden they're seeing that dashed away because of the army bearing down on them. So in verse 12 it says, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. So really they were you know, giving up. So, you know, our text tonight starts with verse 13, and Moses really has to rally the people because, you know, they are ready to go back. And so in his prophetic speech, he's attempting to calm the people and restore their confidence. And he wants the people to stop looking at the Egyptian army, stop looking at the Egyptians, and focus on God, and to place their faith and their hope in God. So verse 13 says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Moses imparts great wisdom in his speech to the children of Israel. His goal is to encourage and motivate, as well as calm their fears. He stands before them, and he reminds them of God's power and his purpose. He reminds them of God's promises. Specifically in this instance, God had promised to deliver them. He had promised to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of slavery that they suffered. Moses tells the people to stand still and to see that deliverance. The text says to see the salvation of the Lord. That word salvation can be translated deliverance, which means the act of liberation or rescue. So God was going to liberate them from that bondage, liberate them and rescue them from their slavery. He tells the people not to be afraid. We know that God tells us to fear God alone and not to fear man who has no power over the soul. He had also told Abraham in Genesis 15:1, God said, I am your shield and your great reward. So they had that promise to stand on. Moses tells the people to stand still and to wait on the Lord. And Moses tells them that the Lord will fight their battle and that he will accomplish this purpose today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but today. Well, Moses was kind of, you know, in a situation where he had to act on instincts. He was speaking of what God could do, what he thought God would do, but God had not revealed the details of his plan to him either. So although his words were prophetic, He wasn't speaking as God's messenger when he rallied the people. So sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, and we have to stand on some of God's promises. Sometimes we know that God, what we've experienced of God in the past, expecting sometimes God to work the same way, and he doesn't always work the same way. We sometimes expect him to solve issues in our lives, and we really should be going to God first with our petitions rather than relying on what he's done in the past. We often rely on what God has done in the past, expecting those same results, but God has got his own plan. He's got his own purposes, and our ways are not his ways. So when Moses cries out to God on the very next verse, he's looking for support. He's looking for direction for his statements that he's kind of gone out on a limb on in rallying the people. And he's crying out to God in prayer, asking God, what do I do now? He successfully rallied the people, but he has no idea what to do next. So God answers Moses in verse 15 with a question. He says, "Why do you cry to me?" And I had to stop and think about this. God seems to be critical of Moses here, asking him why he's calling on him. And God already knows the situation. He knows exactly what's going on. But he's questioning Moses. If you remember in the Garden of Eden, God asked Adam and Eve a similar question when they were hiding themselves. He said, "Where are you?" He knew exactly where they were, but he was trying to engage them to see what they would say. I think in this case, God wanted Moses to examine his heart, to consider the reasons he was calling out to him and humble himself a little bit. But Moses was ready for God to act. But God was ready for Moses to act as well. Chuck Smith put it this way: there's a time to quit praying and a time to start marching. So God tells Moses what he and the people will do to participate in his plan for deliverance. I like the next part of verse 15 because God tells Moses to have the people go forward, which is essentially the opposite of what Moses had told them as far as standing still and waiting. So God commands this first before any other instruction. Moses has told the people to have faith and stand still, but God is now testing the people's faith further by telling them to begin marching essentially into the sea. They know the situation they're in, and they don't know what God's plan is, and he's telling them, start marching forward. So it requires a lot of faith on their part. There are times when God asks us to take that step of faith. It may not make sense to us, but in order for him to act, he wants to see that we have faith in what he's going to do, and that he can do anything. I'm sure that when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, it didn't make sense to him then either. But that act of faith that Abraham had confirmed his character to God, and God poured out his blessings upon him. So God wants us to be a participant, an active participant in his plan, and he wants us to have faith. He wants us to start going. I wanted to share an example, I guess, of this. Just recently, I had been praying for more work because I've been without work for quite a long time, or just getting odd jobs here and there. And so I got a call recently from an ex-employee, let's say, who knew about some work, and it was supposed to be somewhere near Palm Springs, and wanted to know if I'd be interested. So I told him, sure, gave me a number to call. So I connected with this other contractor, finding out that, no, the job's not in Palm Springs, that it's in Arizona, and it's going to be finishing drywall, running automatic taping tools, which probably been 15 years since I actually did that kind of work. But I felt like, well, I've been praying for work I would be remiss if I turned it down. So I felt like I've got to take this step of faith. I don't know this person. I'm going to drive for 4 hours into Arizona and take my chances and, just pray that God is with me and that it's His will that I be there. And, God honored it. He gave me, brought to remembrance how to operate the equipment without, making a lot of mistakes. And He gave me endurance to do the physical work that I hadn't really done in a long time because I've been administrating for many years. So He was faithful, but I think it required me taking that first step. Sometimes we need to wait on the Lord and not try to do things in our own power, but there are other times when God tells us to clearly get going, to move forward, to take steps of faith. But how do we know? Well, one of the best ways is to be in prayer and to be in God's Word daily so that you're ready to hear from God when He speaks to you. If you're spending time in prayer and reading daily, then you're going to be impacted positively. Well, now in verse 16 of chapter 14, God tells Moses what part he is going to play and that it's now his time for acting. God instructs Moses to lift up your rod. This is the rod that He had given him before He sent him on his quest to Egypt in the first place. And He told him to stretch out his hand over the sea and divide it. So Moses is now having to act in faith and be obedient to God and to do exactly how He is directed. As the leader of the people, Moses has a bigger part to play. Isn't it always true that we expect more from our leaders? And with great power comes great responsibility. In verse 17, God goes on to tell Moses what part he himself is going to play and how he, meaning God, will accomplish all that he has determined. God reminds Moses that he will fulfill his prophetic words and that his ultimate goal is to gain honor for himself with the Egyptian people. Verse 17 says, Verse 17 says, I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army and his chariots and his horsemen. So God desires honor. These were the things that Pharaoh and his people had placed their faith in. They placed their faith in their army, their chariots, and their horsemen, not in God. It was God's desire to challenge that faith, and to show them their error. God says in verse 18 that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh. So God's plan all along was twofold. He would establish Israel as a nation, revealing himself to them through mighty works and a great deliverance, and he would reveal himself to the Egyptian people through those same works, but destroying the false gods that they had set up for themselves and also destroying the things that they put their trust in. So does God have that place of honor in our lives? And is God trying to deliver you from your personal Egypt? Egypt in the Bible represents the world. Is God revealing himself to you like the Egyptians seeing God for the very first time, the one true God? And calling you to put aside your idols and put your trust in him. So my next point is that God places men in power for his purposes. God raised up Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. God's hand had been upon him since his birth. He provided protection for him as an infant, guiding him until the day he was ready to begin to use him in his plan for deliverance. But God put Pharaoh in power as well, so that he could reveal himself both to Israel and the Egyptian people, knowing that Pharaoh's character would play into God's own hand, and that he was just a pawn on God's chessboard. God used Pharaoh's pride and arrogance to accomplish his own purposes. Romans 13:1 says, there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Daniel 22:21 says, "And he changes the times and the seasons, and he removes kings, and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." My next point is that God controls the heart. Verse 14:17 says, "And I indeed will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen." Pastor Jerry referenced a verse a couple of Wednesdays ago that I really liked. It was Proverbs 21:1. Took me a while to find it, though. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes." So, you know, that's telling us that God is in control of the kings and the leaders of the world, and he directs them. Whether it's things that we think are good or bad, he's directing them to do the things that he wants them to do for his purposes. So God is directing Pharaoh's every step. God is in control of all the things working behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose. God has told Moses, even before he went back to Egypt the very first time, that he would harden Pharaoh's heart, that he would cause him to resist God and not release the children of Israel. Notice back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21, this is God speaking to Moses. He says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'When you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.'" So it was clear even in the beginning that it was not going to be easy for Moses and for the people, because God had a plan and he was going to use Pharaoh for his purposes. Well, my next point is that God will fight for us. In verse 14, Moses tells the people that the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Well, he is making a prophetic claim based on the promises and purposes of God that God had revealed to him, sending him there to lead them out of Egypt. But our battles are played out in the spiritual realm, bringing the Egyptians to this very place that they find themselves now, allowing them to think that they have the upper hand and that somehow God's plan could be thwarted. They have fallen into his trap. The battle has been God's all along. But the people, they couldn't see it. All they saw was their circumstances, not the bigger picture. So as we move to verse 19 and 20, we see God beginning his visible action against Pharaoh and his army. Verse 19 says, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them." And verse 20, "So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night long." God stands between us and our enemies. The angel of God that had been leading the children of Israel since they had left Egypt is now positioning himself between them and Pharaoh's army. God is going to provide a distraction at this point to allow the children of Israel time to cross the Red Sea. He's going to give them that time and also provide light to facilitate their crossing while obscuring the Egyptian army's vision so that they would not pursue until God was ready to spring his trap. The pillar of cloud and fire is an interesting example of how God can be a light and salvation to one and darkness and confusion to another. I like what David Guzik said. He said, "The pillar of cloud provided life for the Egyptians as long as they heeded it." And I thought of it like this. I thought it provided a line of which, once they crossed that line, it was their peril was assured, and God was telling them, "Stay back or I will judge you." But they didn't heed his plan or his his warnings. So God's plan was set into motion. And if we read further, we'll see God continued to fight for the children of Israel. Chapter 14, verses 24 and 25 say, "Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the Egyptians, troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.'" So even the Egyptians were aware that something, miraculous was going on, that God was actually doing the fighting for them. But before they could flee themselves, God instructed Moses to stretch out his hand so that the sea would return to its original state, thus bringing about their demise. So in verse 31, it says, "Thus Israel saw the great work that the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses." So in conclusion, I just want to remind us that God has a plan, and he will see it through. And God wants his people to participate in his plan by having an active faith. And God will use our leaders and our enemies' leaders to accomplish his purposes and plan. But God will fight our battles. God does the heavy lifting. God's goal is to be honored. So how are we honoring God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight, Lord. And I just thank you that I've had this opportunity, and I just pray that your will has been done, that your word went out with clarity, Lord, and that your purposes and your plans have been fulfilled. I just thank you for tonight, for these people. I just give thanks to Jesus in your name. Amen.